San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. You can find us on iTunes if you search It's Your Money and Your Life. And we stream live on 760kfmb.com, and all the podcasts are at iymoney.com. Now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author. He's a philanthropist, and he is a family office expert. Advising several high net worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I am doing good, Joe. Another summer day here in winter.
And he runs this weekend? Or
I ran the Carlsbad Half Marathon last. What kind of question was that? Anyway,
he runs.
Okay, but
and
seriously.
He hits her errors.
I ran the Carlsbad Half Marathon last Sunday. It was a lot of fun.
Great. Hey, how about this weather? My gosh.
Like I said, it's summertime in the middle of winter.
Is there a better place in the country right now? I can't think of one. Can you?
Not in the continental United States.
No. Hey, I got to put my microphone on. That's going to fall out of the socket here. Anyway, I know you wanted to dedicate this show.
Oh, yeah. In all seriousness, I want to dedicate the show to the memory of Jerry Gross. Our condolences go out to his wife, Gretchen Gross, and their children, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Passed away on Wednesday. He, of course, was a guest on our show, I believe, in June. Of 2012. I believe it was Father's Day when he was on. But Jerry, of course, was the first baseball announcer ever for the San Diego Padres in 1969. And before that, the first basketball announcer for the San Diego Rockets in the 67-68 season.
He was quite a controversial guy. He always was mixing it up with people.
Muhammad Ali called him the Howard Cosell of San Diego, which is sort of an honor, I guess.
I know he had some run-ins with the ownership of the Padres back in the day, right?
He had run-ins with the ownership of the Padres and Buzzy Bavezzi in particular. He had run-ins with Gene Klein at the time, who owned the Chargers.
And Billie Jean King. But you know,
Jerry actually worked for this station. He was a CBS reporter back in the 70s.
That's right. He was a veteran here.
So, our condolences go out to the Gross family.
Yes. He was a guest in June of 2012. And actually, if you go on our website, iymoney.com, there is a guest list. And you can go back and hear that interview.
We just threw a link up.
Yes.
With a nice little message. And I have a photo of Jerry with Muhammad Ali that Courtney's going to put up on Monday or Tuesday when we get our technology to work.
Right. And if you search our guest list, you can go back and hear that interview anytime you want. And we take out all the commercials, which is a cool thing. So, you don't have to listen to all the commercials except during this show. But anyway, let's see. Oh, this morning I went to go hear Richard Dreyfuss speak at La Jolla Country Day School on behalf of the City Club of San Diego. And, man, he was he's a long-winded guy, I'll tell you, but very, had the audience riveted for about an hour and a half, going on and on about his Dreyfuss Initiative and trying to get civics taught back in the schools. And they're making some headway. So, but anyway, he's very passionate and very articulate. And I think he's going to do the show with us one of these days. So that was great. And they're going to have actually Governor Michael Dukakis there on February 7th.
We're going to that.
Yeah, 10 a.m. on a Saturday, Feb 7. And if you're interested, cityclubofsandiego.com. You can get tickets there. Very reasonable. And you can go meet a former presidential candidate and hear what he has to say. He comes out here once a year, and he's a pretty bright guy.
Is he still teaching at UCLA?
He comes out here, I think, and teaches that the winter quarter, okay. USC or UCLA, I forget which. But he does spend, he loves coming down to La Jolla Country Day. He actually does spend some time in the classrooms there as well. Mm. I think with Jonathan Schulman's class, he teaches government there. So, and then let's see, we got to talk about McGuire a little bit, the play coming to the North Coast Rep on February 9 and 10. Our friend Dick Enberg wrote the play. He'll be there both nights. If you're interested, northcoastrep.org. So there we have it.
Starring Connor Smith.
There we go. Oh, and one more plug today. I had a nice smoothie over at, it's called Blazing Grill, Chronic Smoothie, Blazing Grill on Turquoise, right east of Mission. Really cool place and all healthy food. And I thought I'd totally give them a plug tonight just because they're nice people over there and the food's good. And I just came from J.W. August's second retirement party. This guy keeps...
How many times did he retire?
Well,
he's
retired. We were down at Athens Market. Billy Ray Smith was there and Kimberly Hunt and the whole lot of the Channel 10 veteran gang. Donna Fry was there. But that was a lot of fun. So happy second retirement, J.W., and we'll have to keep these going. I like these parties. Anyway, we should get into the show. What do you say?
Oh, why not?
Okay.
We've got one of our sponsors as a guest tonight.
Yes,
he's one of our newer sponsors.
Absolutely. So this gentleman here is Senior Vice President of California. Let me get this right. Don't tell me. I'm going to back up a page here.
I'm going to tell you, Joe. California
Republic Bank.
There
okay.
We double teamed that
Republic Democratic Bank. No, I'm kidding. So we got to represent everybody. But anyway, his name is Lane Elliott. Lane, welcome to our show.
Thanks so much, Joe. It's great to be with you guys.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure.
How many times have you been on the radio before, Lane?
Three.
Oh, okay.
You know, all right. So you're a veteran now.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You're not a rookie anymore. Well, let's get into your background, Lane, because I don't know very little about you. Born and raised where and schooled where, et cetera?
Born and raised in East L.A., the home of the drive-by shooting. Literally, Highland Park is the home of the drive-by shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in my neighborhood, you're either very big or very fast. And for kind of obvious reasons, I made city finals track and field every year. So, yeah, grew up there, came out of school in the 60s and went to Cal State L.A., was called at that time, was on campus, in fact, the day JFK was shot.
Wow.
Wow.
10:30 in the morning. I'll never forget that day.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you know Billie Jean King went to Cal State LA?
She did. She did. She was really almost a contemporary of mine because I'm 103, so she's pretty close.
Well, she just had 70th, I think.
She just turned 70 late last year.
Her birthday's November 22, oddly enough, the day JFK
departed. That's a tough day to have a birthday from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but came out of school in the 60s, went into the insurance business for 12 and a half years, and in 1979 decided that except for three names in my Rolodex, everybody else was connected to the company I worked for, and I didn't think that was a way to build a career. So I went to work for the old Union Bank in downtown L.A. when it was still privately held in 1979. Harry Volk was the chairman of the board and had a lot of fun there at 8th and Hill in downtown L.A. And then they decided they wanted to monetize their position, and they sold Union Bank in 1981, I think, to Standard Charter, an English bank, and Standard Charter sold it 3 years later to the Japanese, who still own it.
Hmm.
Once Standard Charter bought it, I decided that I would be better served at other places, and so I opened an office for what was then Imperial Bank, now Comerica, in Century City. And from there, got into the merger and acquisition business, primarily focused on cogeneration and alternative energy kind of projects. In fact, at the intersection of the 605 and 60 freeways up in L.A. Is the Pointy Hills Landfill. That's the largest landfill gas-to-energy project ever built.
Hmm.
And I was really privileged to be involved in getting that financed for the people that wanted to run it and lease it back to the county. So that kind of got me launched into project finance, mergers and acquisitions, pretty well energy-oriented up until the mid-90s. And then the big boys came into that business. And I went back into investment banking on a broader scale, corporate finance, helping raise debt and equity for clients. I was ran corporate finance for RSM Equico. I ran corporate finance for Roth Capital Partners after that, and then opened up my own asset-based lending company in the early 2000s. From there, got back into banking. Met these guys that opened California Republic Bank about 5 years before they opened the bank, knew them well, and watched what they did, and it's been an exciting ride.
Wow.
And California Republic Bank was chartered when?
December. It opened the doors December of 2007, so exactly 7 years ago.
Boy, great timing.
Yeah, we opened the doors with $52 million in capital, which was the biggest new bank ever in the history of California. And so we were in the market with money to lend in 08, 09, and 10 when everybody else
was out.
They were out.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good deal. Yeah.
And of course, you could be really particular by that point in time, right?
The fact is that after 7 years in the business, we have never, ever had one loan loss. We've never even had a 30-day late payment because, as you just said, Joe, we bank the who first and the what second.
Wow. Isn't that impressive?
If you bank the right folks, you don't have to worry about much.
Batting 1,000. So how many branches do you have now?
Five.
Where are they located?
Westlake Village, Beverly Hills, Fashion Island, Irvine, and just recently opened one here in the UTC about 4 months ago.
Well, why don't we give the website, Brandon? We're going to give it later, but let's give it now. It's crbnk.com, right?
Correct.
Okay. Anyway, well, that's pretty darn impressive. I didn't know all that history.
Are you still planning to expand further, or is five sort of your target figure that you've hit?
We are we are growing like crazy. We started at zero 7 years ago. We're $1.2 billion in total assets right now, the hard way, one good client at a time. We never bought another bank. We never picked up anybody's bad portfolio, and we never took any government money because we didn't need it. We're currently the highest performing bank in the state of California and the safest bank at the same time. So the answer is absolutely, we're continuing on the game, but probably in a very methodical way. We'll start going up the coast, maybe Santa Barbara, maybe the Bay Area sometime this year. We're looking at opportunities in that game.
I see.
So, Joe, when I say that we only bring in the very best in their field as sponsors, in the case of banking, there's actually statistics that prove that.
Well, I'm looking on the website. I'm impressed by the rankings here. You've got some pretty nice awards and designations here. You wanted to give us a few of those there? Then ranked number one as far as financial strength?
Credit Suisse ranks us the number one bank in the country of any of our competitors in overall performance. Return on equity last year was almost 20%. Return on assets is 1.5%, which is about double what good banks will get. For example, you probably saw the news, City National Bank got bought last week by the Royal Bank of Canada.
Yeah, I saw that.
Although
they told me it was a merger.
They got bought by the Royal Bank of Canada last week and for cash and stock. And they're a great bank. And yet, they got a really nice number for their bank, about 1.8 times book value, which is a good multiple. But at the end of the day, their numbers on performance, obviously they're a lot bigger. It's harder to move a big boat than a small one. But they did well, and we're excited that they got that kind of foreign investment.
But seriously, I know a banker there, and they said, well, we merged with that. I said, well, no, the article said you were bought. He said, well, no, we merged. Well, whatever.
Well, if he owns stock, he got shares of Royal Bank of Canada in cash. So I'm not sure that's a merger.
I'm not sure that's a merger either.
That's okay.
Looks like a $5.4 billion deal from what I'm seeing here, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay. Anyway, hang on with all these thoughts. We'll be back with Lane Elliott from California Republic Bank right after this. Hang on. All right, we are back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life with Senior Vice President Lane Elliott of California Republic Bank, only the nation's third best-performing community bank in 2012, and getting better all the time. Right, Lane?
We're working on it, Joe. We're working on it.
So we were talking at the break about foreign-owned banks and things like that. There's quite a bit of foreign interest in the big banks, you said, right?
Absolutely. The America continues to be the safe haven for both money and future investment. And there's nothing more safe than somebody to come in and buy one of the strongest banks in town. And they did. City National lately on that Royal Bank of Canada purchase last week, very much so, a strong bank. And they made a good buy. Royal Bank of Canada made a good buy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lynn, without talking about your bank specifically, but in general, can you compare and contrast the major differences between large banks and smaller community banks?
Sure. Richard, first of all, everyone I'm sure probably understands that every small community bank is staffed by people that used to work at big banks.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the trend. And as a result of that, the objective is to be able to bring as much as possible big bank services and capabilities to the community directly, and try to be more nimble, try to be more tuned in to what's going on in the community itself, and the level of authority given to, for example, the local branch managers of big banks is very, very small these days. And it's unfortunate because that wasn't the way it used to be.
Yeah, because I know somebody, like say a business owner whose business is applying for a loan here in San Diego, they don't really want to deal with a decision maker in San Francisco or in New York because they never even get to meet that person.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I mentioned, I think, before about the fact that we're all about the relationship first. And that's old school banking. It's when the banker who has authority looks you in the eye and looks at your stuff and says, yeah, let's do some business. And it's all about character and it's about relationship.
What major service industries or types of businesses do you typically bank?
Well, we absolutely speak real estate in about every language you can imagine. We have clients that up until about a year ago in Southern California were flipping 1,000 houses a year, and we have clients that own tens of thousands of apartment units and everything in the middle. So we also bank all the vertical relationships to real estate, from escrow, title, exchange, property managers, things like that. But we're very big in multi-location retail. For example, the Red O is opening a brand new restaurant in the UTC right now, and that's mm-hmm. that's my client.
They spun out of the Red Onion, right?
Yeah, it's the interesting story there. The principals had the Red Onion. They monetized that. They went into Jiffy Lube,
okay.
monetized that. Now they're back into the restaurant business, and they hooked up with Rick Bayless, who's providing the menus.
So you get 1040 oil in your salad, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you get a lube job, oil change, and you know, fries to go.
The Red O, UTC, that's good.
Interesting. Let's see. So I'm looking at your website, which is very impressive here. What's a typical day in your life like? And I see there's various products and services here. Do you work in all of those, or what are your specialties?
Yeah, my responsibility at the bank is I run business development for the bank. And so as a result of that, the everything that the bank does is designed about from one really deep perspective. Today, we've got about $1.1 billion in deposits, but we only have about 500 clients. In a really busy day in any of our branch locations, maybe three people come in because today it's all about technology,
sure.
and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So my day is always focused on the combination of seeking out the right kind of relationship that will fit what we're really good at doing to be able to have the privilege of taking care of their banking needs. And at the same time, making sure that our existing clients understand that that our position is very simple. We believe it's our responsibility to continuously provide and proactively provide tangible reasons why we should have the privilege of being their bank. So the best new customer you can get is the one you already have. And our clients, because of their average net worths, continue to stay in the game.
A lot of your clients then also own what I would call private equity interests, but others might call like middle market companies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can use these names because they let us, we've had customers, our clients include Quest Software, mm-hmm. Applied Medical, Griffith Construction. We have the largest Carl's Jr. franchisee in the nation who happens to be a San Diego company. And in all of those situations, the money has always started with entrepreneurs. And then as the entrepreneurs made more money, they looked for ways to redeploy that behind people that they felt they could not only trust, but that could take and move their wealth that much further.
Hmm. What kind of industries do you serve in terms of the private equity or middle market company space? You gave some names, but does it?
Construction, software. Construction, software. We do some medical devices.
Okay.
We do and hardcore manufacturing. We do consumer products. We do pretty much a very broad spectrum. The great thing about the bank is that because we all grew up in major banks and in different markets, there's a combined wisdom there that enables us to pretty much talk to anybody about anything. We're down here in San Diego wanting to learn more about biotech. I'm too old to get smarter, but I can't get less ignorant.
What, you want to loan money to companies that have no gross revenue whatsoever?
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, but I would love to meet the guys that put the money in those companies.
Exactly.
Now, do you sit and wait for clients to find you, or do you actually seek out interesting, good businesses that then let them know about your services?
I wish that what you just said was true, Joe, that I could just show up and be my exceptionally charming self and people would just line up to do business. But it's a very competitive market. Just here in San Diego County, there's over 40 different banks doing business in San Diego County, not including credit unions. That's separate from the credit union.
Wow.
So when you understand that this is the an exceptionally well-banked county.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that you grow your business is to seek out those that you believe you can provide a value proposition that they can't refuse.
Mm-hmm.
And question on regulation, being what might be described as a community bank. Dodd-Frank, for example, that was put into place a few years ago. How does it affect a bank of your size?
We're exceptionally affected by all of those parts and pieces. For example, we are purposefully not what's called a HMDA lender. We're not a purchase money lender for single family homes. Although at the same time, we bank folks that flip 1,000 houses a year. We do. You can't walk in our front door and say, I need a mortgage for a 1-4 dwelling. So the reason we don't do that is exactly because of what you just said. The regulatory requirements to be in that business are so huge.
Onerous, huh?
That the staffing and the cost just doesn't make sense to us. So, but we've been able to, you know, I have clients that have $8 million home equity lines of credit. We do that, but we can't provide the money to finance the home.
You mean in terms of like a first mortgage?
First mortgage, yeah, the first time in, yeah.
Anyway, we're going to take a little time
out. I hear music in my ears.
You do. We're going to have to take a time out right now. New sports weather coming up, and we'll be right back with Lane Elliott from California Republic Bank. Hang on. All right, we're back for the second half of It's Your Money and Your Life, the award-winning show. Now for time for Richard to thank our sponsors.
Big thank you, as always, to our sponsors, UBS, Mr. Michael Caronta, and Drew Freitas. Michael is actually sitting in studio with us. He stopped by to pick up a ticket to, guess what, Joe McGuire by Dick Enberg at North Coast Rep. Mike is coming with us on February 9th. So
sounds like a slam dunk.
Thanks for saving me 49 cents of postage, Michael. I appreciate that very much. Of course, California Republic Bank. They get the whole show, except when we're goofing off, in between them having the whole show. So, Lane Elliott, very much appreciate you coming in here. Two of our favorite CPAs on the planet. First, Jason Kruger, CPA with Signature Analytics, the best CFO service here in San Diego. And second, that would be Plato Epic CPAs, now in San Marcos at their lovely new office just across the street from the Civic Center. Plato Epic CPAs in San Marcos, gearing up for tax season. Brenda Geiger, the Geiger Law Office, specializing in estate planning and asset protection. Brenda probably wrote another book this week because she's an amazingly productive author. One of my all-time favorite people, Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, by far and away the best business valuation firm on the planet. And for those of you who like seeing me and Carl in public, we are presenting at the Society for Trust and Estate Planning in Irvine on February 24th. Information at step.org/orange-county. And if you come to that presentation and you have any hard questions, ask Carl. Don't ask me. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. One of our new sponsors, Hub International Insurance, formerly Mars Maddox here in San Diego, specializing in employee benefits and insurance. Paul Hines with www.endfinancialabuse.org, the Ending Financial Elder Abuse Alliance. And last but not least, Servant Leadership Institute. Again, Servant Leadership Institute's fifth annual national conference is in Coronado on March 9th and 10th. And appearing at the same time, on the same stage, at the same time, all together at that conference will be John Maxwell, Stephen M. R. Covey, and Ken Blanchard. May we have pity on the moderator of the panel of those three, because that's going to be an amazing leadership presentation. Again, servantleadershipinstitute.com. Joe, how can our listeners find out more about our amazing roster of sponsors?
They just have to get on a computer and get over to iymoney.com. There is a drop-down tab. If you go across the top of the page, you get over to the sponsors tab. There's a drop-down menu, and you can click on any one or all of them, and all their information is there. Contact information, phone numbers, whatever you need, and a little bit of bio information. And they've all been working with Richard for many, many years with great success.
In some cases, over 25 years. And again, a big thank you to Courtney Lover of PopX Graphics for doing such a great job on our website, because
right,
Joe and I don't have time to do that sort of thing.
Right. And I have in my hot little hands here the testimonial that Bill Walton wrote up for McGuire when he saw the play the first time. And of course, this is an encore performance, but I'm just going to give one or two little lines here.
Go for it.
He just said that fast-paced and hard-hitting, just like Al himself, this extravaganza of hope, fun, pain, joy, sadness, laughter, sorrow, and love is really a kaleidoscope of what we all would jealously like our own lives to be. So if you want to learn more about that show, go to northcoastrep.org. And we hope to see you there. I'll be there both nights. You too.
I'm going both nights. You know, one of his players, Jerome Whitehead, was for many years my mom. Just lived down the street from my mom. Jerome passed away, unfortunately, a couple of years ago.
Huh.
But he was on the national championship team of 1977.
Of Marquette.
And I went over to his house, I think, a couple of times back in the day. And just a great guy. He used to play here for the San Diego Clippers.
Yes.
So anyway, but back to business.
Yes.
California Republic Bank. Hey, Lane, before we ask any more really tough business questions, you got a lot of kids and grandkids, right?
6 kids, 14 grandchildren.
And in studio with us is Lane's better half, Kathy. Does she take care of all the grandkids, or is that you?
She takes care of everything, including me.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
You know. Well, she doesn't handle all 14 at once, does she? And what are the ages ranging from low to high?
19 to 2 months.
Oh, two months.
That's high to low.
Wow.
That's high to low.
Yeah, there's low to, did you say low to high?
I did.
Yeah, I'm slow tonight. Yeah, I'm sorry. How about 19 days plus 30? Never knew. But they're all over the country. Grandkids in Virginia, Texas, Oregon, Altadena. It's almost a different country.
Well, that's a mixed blessing to have them scattered all over. Yeah, because if they were all living at your house.
They've been there.
So did you take a picture of where you had dinner tonight and like email it to all the kids or text it to all the kids and grandkids?
It was the Poseidon, right? On the sunset and 78 degrees. And
78 degrees on the sand at sunset. It was like beautiful. My bride put it on Facebook, and so all the kids have seen it by now.
Yeah. Our weather's very, you know, it's weird. I think last weekend it was a little chilly and overcast, and this weekend's paradise. I mean, it just, it's unbelievable.
So dry, though.
The range. Yeah, definitely affecting me.
So, Lane, tell us, what is the genesis? What's the story behind the formation of California Republic Bank?
In 2005, there was a bank called Western Financial based up in Orange County. Ernest Rady was the primary shareholder of that bank.
Rady Children's Hospital.
That's the same guy.
Big philanthropist in town, right?
Yeah. And in 2005, Wachovia came to town and made Ernest an offer he couldn't refuse. And at the end of that offer, Ernest became the single largest shareholder of Wachovia. At that point in time, the guys that started our bank, the three founders, were running the commercial business bank for Ernest, and they spun out. They took cash from Wachovia instead of stock and went to work getting our bank set up and formed so that we could open the doors in December of 07. Ernest took stock, and as you know, Wachovia had a problem, and the federal government pushed it into Wells Fargo, where it sits today. Mm-hmm. But I had known the founders of California Republic Bank for about 5 years before Ernest sold Western Financial, so we had done some transactions and other things. So it was a really good move for them.
Mm-hmm. And his name is not only in the Children's Hospital, but also the Rady School of Management, where we saw Irwin Jacobs speak in December. He delivered the fourth annual Chancellor Herbert York Lecture, which was pretty good. And I think it's on UCSD TV at my suggestion, by the way. They weren't going to tape it. I can't believe this.
They weren't going to tape it?
They weren't. And I emailed the lady. She goes, well, I'll know by this afternoon. And I actually emailed Irwin, and and by that afternoon, everything was going to be taped. So things happen in a hurry over there, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
But
it is.
Also, at the break, Lane mentioned that he wanted to discuss cyber theft, cybersecurity, and those issues. So what did you have to say about those, Lane?
Well, as every banker in San Diego understands, their clients are constantly under attack. And today, the methodologies being used to be able to steal people's money, whether it's on a retail situation where they hack Target, or whether it's a much more sophisticated where they put a virus on an individual's computer, and when they go to do a financial transaction, they take over that computer and redirect the money offshore. This is something that is unbelievably acute on the minds, especially for people like us, and you know, wealth managers and other folks who take care, who are fiduciaries taking care of the money for a lot of wealthy people.
So you're talking like maybe a fish example where you get an email, it looks like it's from Wells Fargo with their logo, and they say, oh, something's changing your account, click here, whatever, and the next thing you know, they're into all your information, right?
That is absolutely one of the ways, Joe, for sure. Phishing, it's called, as you say,
with
and that's
pH.
One of the ways. Yeah, with a PH. The amazing thing about these guys is that they are so bright that they're always one step ahead of everybody. And my son-in-law, who's married to my oldest daughter in the East Coast, does a lot of very high security consulting to companies about this. And he said to me, he said, Lane, he said, what people don't understand and you need to accept is that the fox is already in the hen house. And all the time and energy you work to keep the fox out of the hen house is good, but the real money now is being spent to not let the fox get out of the hen house.
Wow.
With the eggs.
Huh.
So one of the things that we do at the bank is the 2 points of major vulnerability for anybody today is a Microsoft-based PC doing a financial transaction over the public internet. 99.7% of all the viruses and malware written are for the PC platform because it's so ubiquitous everywhere across the world. And they look for points of entry. They look for businesses that would normally keep a lot of money, like escrow and title and trust companies and things like that.
Are some browsers more secure than others, though, or does that not matter?
Today, as you can imagine, with Explorer being the number one used browser in the world, that's the most vulnerable because that's where they focus. Mm-hmm. You know, it's economies of scale for the hackers.
So look at your news on that one and do your transactions on something else maybe.
Well, it all comes down to continually isolating and everything. When we're privileged to bring on a new client, we provide them with effectively we create a mini branch in their office where we bring them a brand new iMac. It takes care of the PC that's locked down so that the only thing it can do is talk to the bank. Can't go to Google, can't go to Facebook, can't do your email, talk to the bank. We have whoever their local cable provider, internet provider is, like Cox or whatever, come in and bring a separate modem. And then we hook that iMac up to that modem through a special router that we bring that puts everything they do inside our virtual private network.
So it's an internal secure network that you set up.
It's the same security that if you walked into any one of our branches to do a transaction, you'd have it. It's expensive, it's costly, but it's very selfish on our part. We're a fiduciary, and if our name is in the paper next to somebody who lost a lot of money, it doesn't matter whose fault it is.
Right.
Our trust bond with our clients has been broken.
Well, that's good to know.
You know, I presented at a family office conference late last year, and you know, you work with some family offices, so you know, very wealthy families, and the top two things on their list of concerns or the things that keep them up at night were number one, legacy, the issue of legacy, and number two, it was security, both cyber as well as physical security. It wasn't reducing income taxes or reducing estate taxes or all the stuff that a lot of CPAs and attorneys and wealth advisors like to talk to them about. It was legacy and it was security.
Well, if you guys saw what comes across my desk every day about the latest and greatest stuff, it would be difficult to sleep. We do everything we can for our clients, and we know that all the other major banks are trying to do the best they can for all that stuff.
Well, look what just happened to Sony. I mean, you can't get more daunting than that. I mean, did they get their financials too, or was it just mostly internal communication or all of it?
We don't know how much they got yet.
Wow.
And Sony's not telling. That's about what you know is what you hear.
Well, Sony probably doesn't know how much they got yet.
So. Probably not.
I think someone had to be working on the inside over there. So now who knows?
But it's a big issue for clients today, and we think it's as you said, Richard. We think it's a huge priority for people who have a lot of money.
All right. Well, hold that thought there, Lane. We'll come right back with Lane Elliott, California Republic Bank, right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back in the home stretch with Senior Vice President of California Republic Bank, Lane Elliott. Welcome back, Lane.
Thank you, Joe.
So, Lane, question. You said there's about 40 banks in San Diego, some big, some small. How do community banks compete, and how does your bank specifically compete against all of that competition?
Community banks are really effective when they carve a special niche that they're really good at. And those that succeed and grow are the ones that take care of it. Some are more focused on wealth management kinds of stuff. Some are focused on retail products and small local businesses. And the ones that survive and grow and ultimately are usually bought up by the bigger banks ultimately are the ones that stick to their knitting. It's very, very difficult today to be too many things to too many people. We realize that our fairway is really focused on helping people that have made money make more money and do so in a way that gives them the products and the services and the efficiencies that they need. So we had to, for example, we're direct members of the Federal Reserve. We don't go through any other bank to do our transactions, and our wire transfer cutoff is like 2:55 in the afternoon. The Fed window closes hard at 3. But all of the things that are there for security and efficiency and bill pay. But most importantly, we like to provide the entrepreneurs what we call enabling capital. You have wealthy people that spend a lot of money with their tax advisors, their trust advisors, their lawyers, their accountants, and their wealth managers to create these structures that are very, very complex and defensive about all the things that concern them as a family. But most of those families made money entrepreneurially. So when that opportunity comes across their radar that they want to jump on, it can be difficult to push a button and create the liquidity they need to do it.
We can't just take it out of the foundation? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you can.
No, then, you better not. And no, then you, I'm just and then, joking. Don't do that, folks.
No, don't do that. But you could create, you know, there's you can create a taxable event and other things. So what we like to do is get behind those good folks and provide them that money that enables them when they see that opportunity, they jump on it, they buy it, they retrofit it, they reposition it, they stabilize it, and then they decide, do we want to keep it? Do we want to sell it? And then at that time, we do something else for them at the same time. But that's our niche. That's our fairway. That's what we know we're good at.
And tell us about how you actually can monetize certain relationships for wealthy families. I'm not going to mention what this is to steal your thunder, but I, for example, work for a handful of family offices, yet I don't get any checks from the family offices I represent. I get checks from the banks that they bank with. Do you know what I'm doing there?
I do. What's that Thanks called? For the softball.
A lot of business owners don't know about this.
Well, I'll make it very simple. Today, on your every month when you get a bank statement, you have an average collected balance, and there's an earnings credit that your bank applies to your average collected balance to create what's called a gross earnings credit. Subtracted from the gross earnings credit are all the fees they charge you to manage your bank account. And at the bottom line, at the end of every month, if it's a negative, they ding your account. If it's positive, nothing generally happens. At our bank, we're very, very simple. We think that if we do everything we can to help our clients make more money, we'll do just fine. So if there is excess earnings credits, we try to help our clients monetize that, for example, by paying some of the bills of their trusted advisors like you, Richard.
Yeah, you can pay accountants, tax return preparation, payroll services, all kinds of things can be paid with those excess earnings credits. But I'm amazed that a lot of business owners don't know about this, and they've never had that discussion with their bank. And for some reason, their bankers never had the discussion with them.
Well, here's an example. It's a very big bank. I won't name the name. There's a client, a public company in West Los Angeles that owns a number of Hispanic radio and TV stations. Because they're public, they had more than $40 million on their balance sheet. And the big bank came in and said, here's what we're going to do for you. We're gonna strip down your operating account to $1 million every night, and we're going to take the excess and invest it in overnight investments. It sounds really good.
Would they get about 20 basis points?
Well, at the end of every month, they were getting dinged on their operating account, $14,863.
Right, because the charges exceeded
and they were making $3,500 a month on the investment account.
Yeah.
So we went in and showed them how to fix that.
I got a deal for you.
That's bad math.
That was like $280,000 swing to the bottom line like that.
Yeah, that's quite the benefit. Hey, your bank has another product line, so to speak. If I go, for example, to my local BMW dealer and I don't want to write a huge check to buy the car, they send me over to the finance person who makes me sign a bunch of stuff, and then I get a car loan. How are you guys related to that?
We call it indirect auto finance, and we currently service about 2,600 dealerships at California, Arizona, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, Texas, et cetera. We're growing across the country, and we're doing about $150 million a month in that business. About 80% of it is used cars, all investment grade paper, no subprime. And that's one of the reasons we're the highest performing bank in California is that our spread on those kinds of products are much bigger than putting real estate money out at 3% and 4%. We securitize that about 3-4 times a year. Mm-hmm. We have an investment grade rating from Wall Street, and people love the yield and they love the performance of the paper. So it's been a really good business for us.
So Lane, you've been in banking for a long time. What's the biggest change you've seen now compared to, say, when you were in the business 30 years ago?
It is the continuing, we fight the continuing impact that technology has on disengaging from the personal relationship. That is, the technology is fabulous. You have to have it to compete. You have to have it to be effective as a business person and entrepreneur. But at the same time, it becomes, especially for the larger banks, it becomes their connection to the client as opposed to that one-on-one relationship, which we are very, very jealous about.
In terms of secure technology, though, would you say you're in the top tier as far as providing that for clients? Because it sounds like you have a pretty sophisticated system that protects data.
To the best of our knowledge, there's no other bank in the entire country that does what we do to that level. One of our clients got hacked. They didn't lose any money. We caught it, but it scared everybody to death. And we went to work inside to be able to fix that, which is easier for us because we don't have all these legacy computer systems that go back 30 years. Mm-hmm. We were able to turn on a dime and buy the latest and greatest stuff and start from there.
Hmm. And what's the biggest challenge you see the banking industry, and particularly the community banking industry, going forward, say, 5 years into the future?
It is very clearly the fact that things are turning around now. There's so much liquidity in the market that we're starting to see our competitors create proposals that, very frankly, we're a little afraid of. We think that things are getting too loose again too fast. So the challenge is going to be to underwrite well, but to get into that client and do everything you can to help them make some more money, because people remember that.
What size client are you typically looking for in terms of holdings or assets?
From an economy of scale today, Joe, it doesn't make any sense for us to really focus on any loans below, at least 2 to 3 million.
Mm-hmm.
And our legal lending limits today are 20 million unsecured and 40 million secured. And we just doubled our capital in October in order to move up to that level because the folks that we deal with are in that marketplace. Mm-hmm. But to give you an example, Mark Brutton of Westcore Properties is a San Diego guy. He's one of our directors on our board of directors. And he's the kind of guy that we like to help out.
Outstanding.
So Richard's clients is too. We like Richard's clients.
We have to wrap it right there. Thank you so much, Lane Elliott, Senior Vice President of California Republic Bank. Get over to crbnk.com. Richard, good to see you. And we'll see you next week. We have Dick Enberg coming up next week. Did you know that?
I know that.
And Servant Leader Institute.
Art Barter's going to be in after Dick Enberg.
Anyway, thanks to Eric Rubalcava for making us sound great. Thanks to Craig Lang, our con executive. Thanks to Dave Smith, our programming genius. Hear all these podcasts at iymoney.com. Have a great, sunny, beautiful weekend here. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.